Greetings and welcome to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast, presented by the Energy Service Coalition, is sponsored by the United States Department of Energy.
Now we turn our attention to the Preliminary Measurement and Verification Plan, or M&V Plan. We continue to follow the performance contracting model instruments and their guidance that have been assembled on the Energy Services Coalition website. The instruments call for the investment grade audit to include a preliminary M&V plan. The plan's labeled preliminary simply because the IGA has yet to be reviewed and accepted, leaving the chance that the project measures could change. But for all other intents and purposes, this will become the project M&V plan.
Yeah, so here's a simple principle to consider. If you can't prove that the projected savings are being achieved from an energy or water saving measure, then the measure should not be included in a GESPC project. You know, within the consideration of every energy and water conservation measure, there should be the concept, knowledge, capability, and know-how to prove that the anticipated or projected or calculated savings, avoidance of cost, are being achieved. So within what is labeled the preliminary M&V plan should be a description for each proposed measure as to how the savings will be measured. The description should identify what will be measured and when, with what, and how those measurements will be conducted. This description should be combined with any documented agreed to variables that will likely impact the measure, and how the math of those measurements and adjustments for variables will impact and accrue to or detract from the savings proposed to be achieved. As a reminder, the math and engineering principles and calculations should be displayed in a level of detail so as to be able to be repeated by others to arrive at the same or very similar results. Along with the science and the math, this work should be accompanied by a layperson's description so that reviewers grow in their understanding and therefore confidence in the process that will illustrate the achievements of every measure.
A detailed description of guidance for M&V has been developed by a global collection of industry professionals and is maintained and continuously improved by a group called the Efficiency Valuation Organization in a well-accepted standard known as the International Performance Measurement and Verification Protocol, or better known as IPMVP. Here's a synopsis from the IPMVP. Energy, water, or demand savings cannot be directly measured because savings represent the absence of energy or water consumption or demand. Instead, savings are determined by comparing measured consumption or demand before and after implementation of a program, making suitable adjustments for changes in conditions. The comparison of before and after energy consumption or demand should be made on a consistent basis. Good practice requires that M&V is well integrated into the process of identifying, developing, procuring, installing, and operating energy conservation measures. IPMVP's framework requires certain activities to occur at key points in this process and describes other important activities that must also be included as part of good M&V practice.
IPMVP identifies four separate and distinct protocol methodologies labeled as options A through D, along with the recommended application of each. In this podcast, we'll describe each briefly. In option A, savings are determined by field measurement of the key performance parameters which define the energy and water use of the ECM's effective system or systems, illustrating the success of the measure. Measurement frequency ranges from short-term to continuous, depending on the expected variations in the measured parameter, and the length of the reporting period, meaning the number of years M&V shall be required. The number of years or M&V term may be specified in your state's enabling legislation. Parameters not selected for field measurement are estimated. Estimates are typically based on historical data, manufacturer specifications, or engineering judgment. Documentation of the source or justification of each estimated parameter is required. The plausible savings error arriving from estimation rather than measurement should be evaluated and plainly stated within the plan. So one example of option A, M&V, is a lighting retrofit where the power draw and light levels are the key performance metrics that are measured periodically for a representative sampling of each fixture type. An estimate of the operating hours might be based upon facility schedules and occupant behavior and the analysis of past use as reconciled to the utility bills and even perhaps spot measured during the IGA.
Moving on to the next option, option B is labeled retrofit isolation and is defined as an all-parameter measurement methodology. In this methodology, the savings are determined by field measurements of the energy use and all variables of the system impacted by the measure. Like in option A, measurement frequency ranges from short-term to continuous depending on the expected variations in the savings and the length of the reporting period. An example here might be the application of a variable speed drive and motor controls for pump flow. In this case, an option B plan would measure electric power with a kW meter that is installed on the electrical supply to the motor, which reads the power no less than every minute. During the IGA, this meter would be put in place for a week or more to verify power draw of the constant loading of the existing pump motor, thereby establishing the baseline energy use for the system. After completion, the meter remains in place throughout the reporting period to track actual variations in power use under all of the varying load conditions. This real-time data is then compared to the baseline energy use data, and the resulting difference verifies whether savings are being met or not.
Moving on to option C, savings are determined by measuring energy use at the whole facility or sub-facility level. This measure is sometimes referred to as a utility bill guarantee, as the continuous measurements of the entire facility's energy use are taken throughout the reporting period directly from the utility meter data. As with all the IPMVP options, adjustments will likely need to be made to the baseline to compensate for variables that impact projects.
And finally, under option D, calibrated simulation, savings are determined through computer simulation of the energy use of the whole facility or a sub-facility. Option D is defined as applicable for projects with multifaceted energy conservation measures affecting and interacting with multiple systems in a facility, and is especially useful where no meters existed in the baseline period. Using this option generally requires that utility use measurements after the installation of meters are used to calibrate the simulation.
This brief description of the four options of M&V savings doesn't begin to touch the level of detail required in a preliminary M&V plan. In fact, the ESC model documents we refer to actually point to the detail as prescribed in the standardized M&V schedule. It is that schedule in the standardized contracts that delineates the granularity of description, methodology, frequency, quantity, assumptions considered, and how impacting variables will be accounted for in the three separate periods. First, when construction is wrapping up, for the first full performance year, and then for every year covered thereafter. M&V plans define and illustrate the proof of projected and guaranteed savings to be achieved in order to repay the project's upfront financing. They are required to show how the work of the project and the achieved savings are impacted by variables that are likely to influence the project savings and the results they'll have on utility bills. Then, the subsequent post-construction performance period formal M&V reports following the M&V plan illustrate the actual savings achieved. Or, if they haven't been achieved, Why not? And any necessary adjustments of financial reimbursement and remedies to prevent future shortfalls.
Like you say, Dale, there's so much more that can be shared and considered about the M&V plans, far more than time allows here. So let's summarize just a few of the more important points for you as we come to the end of the podcast.
Okay, so for one, like preliminary commissioning plans, preliminary M&V plans should be very nearly the final M&V plan unless project measures are added or deleted.
And also, like the preliminary commissioning plans, preliminary M&V plans are not optional or to be provided later. They're part of the IGA, part of what was identified would be required in the IGA, and therefore, the work of preparing the plan is included in the price of the IGA.
M&V plans need to provide proof, science and math, real evidence that the savings projected and guaranteed have been achieved, and why or why not.
So without the M&V plan, proving and reporting the savings have been achieved as intended, performance guarantees have no value. They are reduced simply to claims.
Hey, you know, energy services companies typically and somewhat uniquely have the skills and expertise to provide really high quality investment grade audits, and their reports complete with clear descriptions of what's proposed to be done, how, what it will achieve, and how to prove that the results are achieved and that they persist over the term of the contracts. Following a well-vetted standardized contract and legislated guidance can produce great results for project owners. We should learn to clamor for proof of predictive consistency, require that project providers stick to the script of the guiding instruments, and revel in the jobs created, work completed, energy saved, and the resulting environmental impact of GESPC. So join us next time as we put a few final touches on the investment grade audit and its report. Thanks for joining us, GESPCU. See you next time.